Welcome to the Devils in the Details radio show live on SkidRowStudios.com. Here's your host, Juan Russell.
Because the land of love and freedom is just a baby's breath away. And if we hold hands together, we can bring back the USA, the USA.
All right, welcome to the Devils in the Details radio show once again. Thank you for joining me here at SkidRowStudios.com. We're going to have some fun this afternoon and learn a lot about our world and the things that are told to us. So welcome to the, of course, live to the overcrowded and jewelry-filled downtown Los Angeles. I don't know why downtown LA has so many jewelry stores, but if you haven't been here, it is loaded with them. It is a cold day today, which ties into the topic we are discussing about, which is global warming, whether it is a truth, whether it is hoax, whether it is false science. Of course, you know, hopefully we'll get to the bottom of that today. Now, you can always call into the show by calling 1-800-893-9562. Share any comments and thoughts you have on the topic. You know, very important stuff today. Now, just one quick note from last week. Now, if you think we skipped a few things on the history of high, or, you know, the drug episode we did last week, you would be correct. That was the entire decade of the 80s, and I apologize for that, being the most important decade in the war on drugs. But it really wouldn't have done the 80s justice just to give it a few minutes. So we're putting together an entire Cocaine in America episode where we will hear all the details about the CIA Contra cocaine connection with Michael Rupert, the investigations that Michael Rupert provided, and all of that very important information. Now, today we have some extremely important stuff, and this is very topical because we are moving into a conference, or we're moving into a rally in Washington upcoming for global warming and climate change and to support the new carbon tax system, which we're going to talk about today. So we have today we are talking about the battle of global warming and the chemical clouds known as chemtrails. Yeah. So here we go. Check this out.
Where you gonna get it like this? Where you gonna get it like this? If you don't like what you're singing, you sing a different hook. If you don't like what you're cooking, you get a different cook. If you don't like what you're wearing, you get a different look. You want to escape Armageddon?
All right, thanks. That is KRS-One. His new stuff from 2012. Check that out. It's great stuff. Now, global warming. Here we go. Okay, now they call it many things. They call it global warming. They call it climate change. Or is it, I ask you, complete propaganda? Right? Now, that is a very, you know, heavy thing to say and an important thing not to misunderstand, that, you know, propaganda does exist in areas like global warming and like science, you know, things that are told to us that are supposed to be undeniable or unequivocal. You know, a lot of the time that is mostly propaganda. So what is this information here we have today? Let me just take a quick look. I believe what's happening with global warming is that they're trying to forge a one world government to control and profit from the carbon tax trading system called cap and trade. And we're going to try to discuss that a little later on in the program. Now, this is a tax on the air that you and I breathe. Seriously, I mean, it's tax on the CO2 or the carbon dioxide that we emit as human beings. Now, global warming is not only a pseudoscience, and I say that, and I'm serious, it's a pseudoscience, but it has become a new morality and a pseudo-religion of sorts, as you see that there are so many groups and people condemning you if you just kind of want to open your mind to what might be happening out there or what science is actually real and what isn't. So it is disgusting to me that as individuals, we must, that we all must agree because a body of politicians or lobbyists that dictate and state that that global warming is undeniable due to some sort of false science, yet the same body of people, they don't have the science to back it up. So they have no real evidence or historical data to back up this undeniable claim that global warming is occurring. Now, that would be pure propaganda. I mean, and speculation, of course, by any definition, either Bernays or Russell, you know. So let's check this out. So Al Gore, you know, the father, or I wouldn't say the father, I'd say the grandson of this global warming movement, he won't even debate the experts, the current day experts, and the people we're highlighting today with that information. You know, how much does he back up the facts that he actually has, right? Or that he has come up with. Now, look for the quick casting of labels on free-thinking individuals. Now, this is just something, this is personally how I feel. When you look at the titles that are put on us for having an open mind, like global warming denier, birther, truther, right? All of these bizarre terms or labels. These are telltale signs that you are being propagandized. So if you go along with the fact that you call somebody a global warming denier or a birther or a truther for what that they believe in individually, you're doing no better than how the people were treated in the turbulent years of the civil rights movement back in the 60s. Got to think about it. I mean, you're allowing labels to come into your life and to determine who you are, and it's horrible. And when you cast these labels on others, you are certainly not allowing yourself to be open-minded and to listen to the information. So remember, the last person you should ever believe is a politician. A politician is no different than a car salesman. What do you think a politician is selling? So if they're just salesmen, what do they sell? They're selling themselves. They're selling their family's livelihood. That's why we all work. That's why we all do things. Well, it's no different for politicians. Just like we do on a daily basis. And now, would you ever think that these people have your best interests at heart? I mean, think about that. Do you really think a politician has your best interests at heart? I mean, I don't know. What do you think they really care about? I mean, do they care about themselves? Well, ask yourself this question. Do you really care about politicians' lives, or do you care only or mostly for your family and loved ones? Think about that. I mean, do we sit around and worry about what's happening in our favorite politician's life? And do we do things in our life to make their lives easier? Or do we basically go to work to take care of our own families? And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just more important. You know, it's very important and unique. In life, it's more unique to be loved and cared for, you know, and care for the ones that we love than it is be trendy, fit in, or blindly agree in any mass, based on a political party's belief. So, you know, we have to focus on love instead of just trying to fit in with the norm or bounce our normality off of our neighbors or our coworkers to find out if we are thinking correctly. You know, these feelings have to come from your heart. By the way Washington operates, I couldn't hold up three politicians that I would like to keep at their desks. You know, what's going good for the government, I ask, and you have to ask yourself that question. So from the film that we are discussing today, which is called The Global Warming Lie, it was a production of KUSI News San Diego, produced by a man named John Coleman. They had a lady by the name of Heather Moore, and she's a reporter who comes on and gives these questions about global warming. So I actually borrowed a couple, and let's take a listen.
We're going to start with a twofer for you. That's two questions, but they are both related. Here we go. Question number one, global warming is real. Earth's temperature is rising. Is that true or is it false? And the next question, also a true or false question, the greenhouse effect is real. Now here's a hint. Both have the same answer. In other words, they're both true or they're both false. So here are the answers to our first questions. Both answers are true. Global warming's been going on for a long time, almost continuously for thousands of years. In fact, if global warming stops, then it is time to worry because that may mean we are headed into another ice age. And as for the greenhouse effect, it is vital to life on Earth. It moderates temperatures. Without the greenhouse effect, the average temperature on Earth would be about 0 degrees Fahrenheit. Brr. Take a little greenhouse effect anytime. Back to you, John.
Right. So there you go. So all that information is, in fact, scientifically correct. Please watch that film, learn all of the information they have, and we're going to go through a lot more of that today. Now, human beings, remember, we are carbon dioxide. The alleged man-made effects of CO2, of course, this is the whole, you know, the whole kind of, the whole thing. The alleged man-made effects of CO2 is being blamed for the effects of global warming. You know that every part of life grows from carbon dioxide. The biggest crime is that CO2, a natural occurring gas, has been deemed a pollutant by the EPA. So that's what's really going on, is that the EPA, our Environmental Protection Agency, made CO2 a pollutant. So once that happened, what happened? Your food bills went up. Everyone's wondering why food is going up. Well, this is part of it. Your gas bill went up. Fuel is skyrocketing. Your energy bills are out of control. But did the alleged output of CO2 decline as a result? Of course it didn't. So is it okay for a large body of people, you know, politicians, lobbyists, to determine that the sole life-bearing gas that is emitted from all living things is now a pollutant that they must now tax the output and usage of? Tax. That is the key. So their solution to all of global warming is to create a global tax on carbon, and that is the gases we emit as human beings. It's completely insane. So let's explain why Al Gore got rich and why he stands to gain billions of dollars once this global government is established and this carbon credit stock market goes into effect. When we talk about the New World Order, we certainly were trying to discover or figure out how they would install this global government. Well, one of the ways that they figured out how to do it was through this global warming or climate change falsehoods or hoax. So they figured that we can create a need for this global system and then create our world government around this need to tax everybody for what they emit in gases. So it's ridiculous. So what is global warming? We probably covered it, but here we go. So the first thing you always hear in all these films is that it is a very complicated issue, and that we all have to agree on that, of course, that the warming of the earth would be, you know, probably one of the most complicated issues of anything, is how our climate is derived, or where does it actually come from, and you know, all the animals that live here and what have you. So determining what drives our temperature is an extremely complicated issue. So we have to definitely establish that. But here is the alleged global warming issue in a nutshell. Global warming does occur, and the greenhouse gas effect is real. Now, that's probably something you wouldn't expect to hear, from me or on a show like this. But I'm telling you, global warming is obviously scientifically real. It does occur. And the greenhouse gas effect, of course, is real. So when things are in our atmosphere and the gases swirl around, it creates heat and it traps the sun's heat, in the earth, to the earth, for us, and so we can live and survive and all our plants can grow. So without these two things, global warming and the greenhouse effect, the Earth would be a frozen, uninhabitable planet. So without these two things, well, of course they occur, because if they didn't, we would be frozen and certainly wouldn't be here. So, global warming it's not driven. This is the, this is the reality portion of this, but global warming is just not driven by carbon dioxide. So we first have to understand that everything on the Earth, the sun, outer space, affects and determines the temperatures here on Earth. If CO2 and greenhouse gases didn't warm the surface of the Earth, we would not have a habitable planet. Now, this is why the other planets in our solar system cannot support life as we know it, of course, because they're frozen or too hot or what have you. But the so-called greenhouse gas effect is necessary for life on Earth. And it is not, it is not being enhanced by man or sped up. CO2 levels follow the temperature. This is key. CO2 levels follow the temperature. Okay. The temperature does not follow CO2. Okay. And this is I will have a list of scientists and people where you can reference this information. But that is the key finding, that CO2 levels follow the temperature, and it's not the other way around. So let's hear from John Coleman himself. This guy's awesome. He is he's the father of meteorology. He's the co-founder of the Weather Channel, and he is completely against this global warming hoax, and he made this film about it. So let's listen to Mr. Coleman in his own words.
Well, let me try to make it clear. Our carbon footprints are from the carbon dioxide released into the atmosphere to support our lifestyles. This carbon dioxide mostly comes from from the burning of fossil fuels, such as gasoline in our cars, the jet fuel in the airliners we ride, the power plants to create the electricity we use for lights, TV sets, computers, air conditioning, iPods, and all the rest. Well, the theory is that this carbon dioxide is a greenhouse gas, and as it builds up in the atmosphere and interacts with water vapor, it produces runaway global warming. The entire global warming frenzy is based on that scientific hypothesis, but the theory is being proven wrong every day. It is invalid. It has turned out to be bad science.
Right. So the thanks, Mr. Coleman. The hypothesis is that carbon dioxide is a super powerful greenhouse gas that will cause Earth's temperature to skyrocket into an uncontrollable heat wave. Now, the end result of Mr. Coleman's and many other scientists as outlined in the film agree that there is no concrete proof that carbon dioxide or CO2 is a harmful greenhouse gas or even possible that it would drive global warming. Now, the film he created in 2010, The Global Warming Lie, can be seen for free on YouTube, and I recommend everybody take a look at that film. It is great. Here are the facts as found by John Coleman and his scientific experts in the film. All of this information checks out, and I urge you to double-check this information. Never take my word for it. Always look at the information I provide, and do the research yourself, guys, because this is important stuff. You got to know this. So let's take a quick look at the facts. So here we go. So CO2 follows the temperature. Okay, temperature does not follow CO2. This is documented by 800 years of scientific research. Now you wonder how we can go back 800 years. Well, that's using ice cores. So how do they measure the global gases at a certain period of time? They do it using ice cores. And particularly in the global warming issue, they use the Volstock ice cores. So reference the Volstock ice cores in your search, and you can read the same information. They take a big, long tube of ice, and they do tests on it to determine what gases were in the environment, and they can, tell you what the temperatures were and what was actually, compromising or creating our air or what it was made up of back then. So that's good stuff. Now, here's another fact. Now, temperature has been rising for the last 300 years, rising. So that there is your warming. Now, in the last 150 years, we had three periods of warming very similar to those we have had since 1975 to 1978. Now, that is the global warming era here. So that's the one we're in here. So from 75 to 98, we had this warming. But this was a normal warming. And since 1998, since then, we have had a decade of global cooling. I mean, look how cold it is out there today here in Los Angeles. Of course, that's just a one day out of many. But look at the storms back east. I mean, look at the level of destruction and just snow. And I mean, everything's record and it's all freezing. So, we are certainly in a decade of cooling at this point, and that is why Al Gore doesn't debate any of this information, because nothing he said in Inconvenient Truth came true, and so it's very questionable. So we did experience some melting of the Arctic ice cap. So here's more facts about global warming. Now, Arctic ice cap that occurred in 2007. So 2007, we started hearing information about the polar ice caps melting and the polar bears dying and floating off and all of our, beachfront property becoming, washed out or underwater. Now, the largest melt, so it did occur in 2007. It was the largest melt on record since the invention of satellites. So that's going back 30 years. That's pretty big. So the ice came back. Now, here's the key. The ice came back. It came back, guys, by the summer minimum of 2009. So 2007, we had this melt off. And in 2009, now it was back by the summer minimum. Now look up scientific terminology. I'm obviously not a scientist, but by the summer minimum of 2009, the ice had returned, and we are certainly experiencing some wickedly cold winters as a result. So the polar bear population, there wasn't much information in this film about the polar bears, but if you look up the polar bear population, that is completely propaganda that they are becoming extinct. Their population is quote unquote exploding. That is what everybody seems to say about them. I did look up some polar bear figures, but they were very inconclusive. So it's kind of interesting to think that They're trying to tell us that we're in need of polar bears or they're going extinct, yet they're not keeping, you know, accurate records. And there are plenty of films out there that actually discuss the polar bear population and how it is booming. So let's just continue on. So polar bears, you know, look into that. Now, there is no decline in polar bears and they're not floating in the ice with no food. And that is just ridiculous. That is Madison Avenue's version of global warming, right? The Coca-Cola polar bear, you know, in peril. Well, that grabs the heartstrings of a lot of people and it works. But so let's move on. So polar bears, look into that. You know, I doubt there is any big issue with polar bears. Now, Al Gore, check this out. So Al Gore states, this was in his movie, An Inconvenient Truth. And we're going to play a clip from that. But Al Gore states this. So check this out. Because of the melting of Greenland and Antarctica, the sea level is going to rise by 20 feet or 610 centimeters. So that was from his film. When in fact, the UN Climate Control, the UN Climate Panel, okay, so that's the United Nations Climate Panel stated after Al Gore made those assumptions or speculations that you are looking at more like a 2.5 inch rise or 6 centimeters. So the numbers, it's ridiculous. So the numbers have dramatically been altered to back up the false science. I mean, you saw Al Gore in that film, and he rides the dolly up the side of the hockey stick, graph, and it's spiking, because of our wicked ways and all of our industrialization is ruining the atmosphere. You know, that was complete speculation, and there is no science that backs up that chart, and that is what is taught to us in this film. So let's listen to Al Gore from that film and see exactly what he has to say. Here's Al Gore.
This is what would happen to San Francisco Bay. A lot of people live in these areas. Here's Manhattan. This is the World Trade Center Memorial Site. And after the horrible events of 9/11, we said never again. But this is what would happen to Manhattan. They can measure this precisely, just as the scientists could predict precisely how much water would breach the levees in New Orleans. The area where the World Trade Center Memorial is to be located would be underwater.
Listen to that. That's horrible. Now, I played that clip for a reason. But listen to Al Gore invoke 9/11 when it applies to global warming. What is he talking about? So he's invoking 9/11 as if mankind breathing or surviving or making things in factories, driving your kids to school in whatever car you choose to have is as bad as driving planes into buildings. I mean, they're comparing our CO2 output to terrorism. I mean, and people eat this up, and you would. I mean, he got a Nobel Peace Prize, so tell me, the world has eaten this up, and it's unbelievable. So, the man who inspired Al Gore. So, where does Al Gore get all this information? We must make this man known. It's dating back to one of his professors at Harvard. So, when Al Gore was in Harvard, he met Dr. Roger Revell. Now, Revell headed the Scripps Scripps Institute in San Diego in the 1950s. Sorry, I can't say that. The Oceanographic. Boy, that's terrible. I'm human. So he did the first post-World War II research on how the burning of fossil fuels released carbon dioxide into the atmosphere. So he was kind of the beginning of it back in the 50s, doing all these carbon dioxide tests in the atmosphere. So where he said it was a greenhouse gas. So he was the first one that determined CO2 to be a greenhouse gas. So interesting fact on Al Gore, on Mr. Revell's class, he received a D. And so there you go. So Mr. Al Gore received a D in Revell's class. He didn't do very well. But he goes on to make an entire career out of it, right? So Revell's theories were the basis of many studies on global warming and this newly formed purpose of a one-world government to control CO2 emissions and output. So, yeah, very bad stuff. So who is Al Gore? Let's look at Al Gore real quick. So Gore was an elected official for 24 years, serving for 8 years as U.S. representative, U.S. senator, and vice president. So he was 8 years in each of those. And, of course, the maker of An Inconvenient Truth, the global warming documentary. Now, his new found money-making investments, which is the green industry and all of this stuff we're talking about, he's established himself as one who will profit heavily from the installation of the cap-and-trade system. Now, that is a stock market based on the trading of these carbon emissions. Now, Al Gore and his wife, Tipper, they paid, now listen to this. So here we go. So he professes all of this global warming, or, you know, all of this flooding and these sea levels rising. And, you know, he actually mentions in that clip San Francisco specifically. And interesting fact, from the LA Times, May 2010, Al Gore and his wife Tipper paid $8.8 million for a home in Montecito, California. Now, that's beachfront property, folks. 6,500 square foot home, sits on 1.5 acres, touts an ocean view, has 5 bedrooms, 9 bathrooms, and a wine cellar, a pool, a spa, fountains, and 6 fireplaces. Wow, boy, that's living. Aside from the Montecito property, Al Gore also bought a $4 million condo in San Francisco. There you go, at Fisherman's Wharf, right on the water. I mean, that will allegedly, by his science, it would be underwater. So what's he doing investing $4 million in that property or any of these properties if he believes in his science, right? So by Al Gore's predictions in the film, the condo would be submerged. It would be underwater. So let's listen to one more of Heather Moore's questions about global warming. Let's check this out.
Thanks, John. All right, here is our next question, and this one is multiple choice. The main cause of global warming is, and I'll give you 3 choices here, A, pollution from factories and automobiles, B, orbital eccentricities of the Earth and variations in the sun's output, or C, the greenhouse effect. Welcome back, everybody. So we gave you 3 choices to our last question, and here's the answer. The main cause of global warming is B, orbital eccentricities of the Earth and variations in the sun's output. We have a chart that gives you a good example of that. As you can see, from about 1100 to the 1600s, the Earth experienced drastic global warming, and then it cooled in what's been called a little ice age. That was in the 1600s and 1700s. By the way, as you know, there were no cars, buses, trains, or big old jet airliners back then. Just something for you to think about. John, back to you.
There you go. So thank you, Heather. Great facts there. Now, I had that on my paper wrong, the Scripps Oceanographic Institute. So so oceanographic. So we can certainly say that if we put it on the notes correctly. So bad wine. So here we go. So let's just look back at the facts. So let's return quickly to the facts of what they found in the film, see if we can get through this. So the temperature readings have been manipulated, and this is key, at primary U.S. government climate data centers. So he does name 2 key centers where the data has actually been manipulated. And those data centers, and this was breaking news in 2010, and it still is if you haven't heard it, of course. But the 2 key centers involved with it was the National Climate Data Center at Asheville, North Carolina, and the NASA Goddard Institute of Space Studies at Columbia University in New York City. Now, here is what that means. When the government tells you that a month was the warmest on record, do not believe it. That information is based on manipulated data from places like the 2 I just mentioned. Now, this also parallels a huge leak that we learned about in late November 2009 at East Anglia University Climate Center in Norwich, England. 4 key revelations there. Now, if you remember back to 2009, there was an email that went out and they actually discussed the tampering of computer software to alter the figures to bring us this false science, so to cook the numbers, so to speak. So the 4 key revelations here is, first, the computer program used to calculate world temperature averages have been dramatically altered so that the final computer product no longer averages actual temperatures from actual locations. So instead, those researchers are pulling numbers from locations that are hundreds of miles away and applying them to that area. Secondly, the number of weather observation points have been dramatically reduced from about 6,000 to about 1,000. Now, this is very important to understand, that they used to take the global temperature at 6,000 points. Now they do it at 1,000 points. Why would they need to reduce the number of observation points if they're trying to come up with the most accurate data possible? But they reduce those to 1,000, and the vast majority of the weather stations that were eliminated were those in cooler locations. Ah, so if you're trying to cook the books and make things seem warmer, you're going to not take the temperature where it is freezing. So they don't factor into the baseline, or they don't factor into the temperature. The vast majority of the weather stations, I mentioned that, are in cooler locations. Now, fourth, the temperatures themselves are being altered by this so-called homogenization. Now, that's kind of what I described, that they're picking and choosing where they are taking the core temperature samples from. So that is not good. Now, where are a few people? So that's pretty much the facts that they have found. Now, those are key. That is key information. Please look at that information. Look it up. Research that. But let me give you a list of the people who bring us that information. Now, the reason why I want to read this to you is because I want to express that these are not conspiracy theorists. Now, you're not going to get crazy names here. You're going to get where all this information comes from. So here we go. We start with John Coleman. Now, that's the gentleman that we heard earlier. He was the father of weather forecasting and co-founder of the Weather Channel. Definitely not a kook. Next one was Lord Christopher Monckton. He was the science advisor to Margaret Thatcher, chief policy advisor at the SPPI, which is the Science Public Policy Institute. Next, we have Fred Singer, PhD, atmospheric physicist, professor emeritus, at University of Virginia, known as the father of global warming debunkers. So he's a good guy. Richard Lindzen, PhD, atmospheric physicist, Alfred P. Sloan professor at the School of Meteorology at MIT. Another one is Willie Soon, PhD, astrophysicist at Harvard Smithsonian Center for Astrophysics. And lastly, Joseph DeLeo, PhD, certified consultant meteorologist, fellow of American Meteorological Society, first director of meteorology at the Weather Channel, and founder and president of IceCap.us. Now, IceCap.us is where we got a lot of this information as well. Visit that website. That is great stuff. But I have to, show you who's bringing us this information. Now, notice there are no conspiracy theorists on this list. And all of these places are highly reputable. So if you would believe, Obama, or I guess our government in general, if you believe that, and they're getting their science from places like this, I mean, why wouldn't you believe these people? I mean, I want you to research this information and believe these people, because what they are saying has dire consequence on all of our lives. But mentioning the groups. So when you talk about New World Order or global government, you have to talk about the groups that might be behind the forming of that. And the groups would be, there's one that we have to talk about or mention, and that is the IPCC. So that is the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. And they meet all the time. They're kind of like the Bilderberg group for global warming, with members from countries from around the world deciding how countries will pay for the CO2 emissions, right? So, it was founded by a man named Maurice Strong. Look up that, Maurice, Strong, look him up. And he is certainly the founder of the IPCC and has been a driving force in the global warming movement. Now, let's move on to cap and trade. Let me see if we can't discuss that or figure out what that is. But the cap and trade is what they're trying to call the solution for global warming. Cap and trade. Now, the EPA's Clean Air Markets Program uses a market-based regulatory program called cap and trade to reduce emissions. This type of approach is one of several different market-based mechanisms that use a variety of economic incentives and disincentives, such as tax credits, emissions fees, and emissions trading. So where you're taxed to the max to pay for new energy systems, which we currently are, right? And you have already felt the heat of the EPA in your food, your gas, your energy bills, because everything has gone up. And the program has not even really started yet, right? I mean, think about that. They haven't even gotten cap and trade in, yet everything is still, going on. So imagine that the U.S. Guarantees $200 billion just being a starting point at that program. $200 billion, and that's our money. That's coming from our tax money that we are committing to cap and trade because of global warming. And the science I just outlined, or the science that these experts outline, it's false. So this is a complete scam. And it's being, and why is the solution money? Why is the solution taxation? Why, how is that going to solve anything? So cap and trades use, they use emission allowances as the currency. So cap and trade is actually a new form of currency. I mean, this could potentially be the New World Order's main form of currency. So so to comply with the emission reduction requirements, these programs display the following key features. So an emissions cap, a limit on the total amount of pollution that can be emitted from all regulated sources. Allowances and an authorization to emit a fixed amount of a pollutant, or, you know, pollutant measurement. Accurate tracking of all emissions. Now, they think all of this is going to create a solution. And what it does, it actually takes the countries, the non-developed countries or the third world countries, and what it actually does is it allows them to only operate from like solar and wind, you know, renewable energy sources. So by allowing the corporations who can afford to buy, so corporations will come in and buy these credit, these tax credits, these emissions credits. They'll buy them from countries who need to sell so they can create an economy for their, you know, people. And then these corporations who already are the polluters, Mobil, you name it, Texaco, whatever. I don't even know if Texaco exists, but you know what I'm trying to say. BP, right? So all these companies, all they're going to do is they're going to buy up tax credits from developing countries who don't, you know, who need the money, who can't go buy credits for themselves so they can build factories or build, new power plants. No. These countries, the third world countries or the non-developed countries are going to have to sell their allowances. So they are only permitted to use solar, wind, renewable sources of energy. Now, America, Russia, China combined, we can't light a city with those energies. But this system is going to force those countries to, function under that sort of energy policy. And that is going to, what does that have, what you ask, what would be the result of that on that society? Death. That is genocide. That is, it's horrible when you really think about it, because it's going to, if you think we have inflation, well, in countries like that, I mean, a loaf of bread is what, $150. So let's not even, speculate on what it would be like. But listen, that is what is going to happen. So let's hear Mr. Coleman one more time. Let's just get Coleman closing comment here. One second there. So let's check out Mr. Coleman one more time.
30,000 scientists have now signed that petition that debunks global warming. And tonight, we have brought that ClimateGate scandal right into the United States. We have revealed how a computer software programmer and a certified consulting meteorologist have unwoven the complex manipulations of data at the primary U.S. climate centers. We scientists, who have known all along that Al Gore and the IPCC are dead wrong about our carbon footprints and carbon dioxide and global warming, are not surprised by these revelations. We'll keep battling until the truth wins. Truth and real science. That's all that we want. I know the situation I am in. It's like David battling Goliath. There is enormous wealth and power on the other side. Government is actually squaring off against us. Well, at least we have truth on our side.
That's right. We got the truth on our side. With people like Mr. Coleman, I mean, there's no way we can't succeed. We just have to all bind together and get behind the truth, not the false rhetoric or not the propaganda. So let's see if we can touch on what geoengineering is. Now, global warming comes along with another solution, which is not just cap and trade, but it is called geoengineering. Now, I want you to look up that term. Geoengineering is it's a term that describes the array of technologies that aim through large-scale and deliberate modifications of the Earth's energy balance to reduce temperatures and counteract anthropogenic climate change. Most of these technologies are at the conceptual and research stages, and their effectiveness at reducing global temperatures have yet to be proven. So, you know, in thinking about that, I'm telling you, global engineering already exists, and we have proof of that every day. Not every day, but when we go outside and we see these trails in the air, in the sky. Now look up. And if you haven't seen them, you're not looking. But there are cloud trails that cross the sky. They make X's. They make strange patterns, grids almost. And in the conspiracy circles, or you know, the government will boo you or tell you that you're insane if you call them chemtrails. But indeed, we are being sprayed from the air, and it is called geoengineering, and it is a solution for global warming. And it is ridiculous. So if global warming is false, then this solution is also ridiculous. I mean, it is a crime. It is problem, reaction, solution. They are creating the problem by creating their false science. They're creating their bogus solutions with cap and trade, geoengineering, chemtrails, spraying us with what is it? Aluminum, barium, and strontium is what's found in chemtrails. Now, there is a great film, and I urge you to watch this film, and it is What in the World Are They Spraying? And it's produced by one of my favorites, G. Edward Griffin, Michael Murphy, and Paul Wittenberger. And of course, Mr. G. Edward Griffin, we've heard him on the show before, and he is a great guy. So what they did was they compiled all of this information regarding chemtrails and what is found in forests and on trees and all over the world. Now, this isn't just a U.S. problem. This is all over the world and heavily concentrated in Canada for some reason. But so, you know, when they spray this in, they gather all this data and they made this amazing film, What in the World Are They Spraying? And they even have a newer version. I believe it's called Why in the World Are They Spraying? So let's just look at the effects of aluminum, strontium, and barium, which is coming out of the back of these airplanes and causing these huge trails in the sky to what? Effectively reflect the sun's rays or the heat back, you know, to the sun or out of our you know, our atmosphere. So the theory is that the chemicals or the metallic chemicals in the trails are going to reflect, cause, you know, like a reflection or a mirror process that's going to remove the bad solar rays that are coming in causing this global warming. Is it CO2? Is it global ray? I mean, you know, solar rays? What is it? You know, they're creating the problem, they're creating the solution, and then they're killing us, you know, with all this information. So let's see if I can get to this information. So aluminum, the effects on humans. Aluminum dust is an eye and respiratory tract irritant. This comes by way of OSHA, which is serious stuff. So soluble aluminum salts are irritants when inhaled as aerosols. So aluminum salts are irritants when inhaled as aerosols, which is interesting that they mention that. Several other studies report X-ray evidence of pulmonary fibrosis, speech disorders, dementia, or convulsions. The syndrome is associated with increased concentration of aluminum in serum, brain, muscle, and bone. It's even been linked to Alzheimer's disease. So that's bad. Strontium, don't really know what that is, but the symptoms is irritation of respiratory system, bronchitis, asthma, nosebleeds. Health effects, lung cancer, ooh, asthma, nasal perforation, ulceration, dermatitis, horrible things. The other is barium, the three things, you know, aluminum, strontium, and barium has been found to potentially cause gastrointestinal disturbances, muscular weaknesses. So these three things have, for some reason, our government came up with a recipe to spray on us. And let me get, you know, and to reflect sun's rays back to, you know, the sun, because we don't want them. You know, we don't want the rays that grow our plants and grow our food and help us become healthy. No, you know, we're going to reflect those. We're going to make the earth darker, which there's tons of information on that as well. And you know, we're going to ruin mankind, basically. Why? For money, for for cap and trade taxes, for your money, for control, for finally establishing that global government. They can do it under the guise of this global warming. It's crazy. So I would like to point you to just a few documents, some real documents from our government. Now, this comes from the Congressional Research Service, www.crs.gov, and it is Geoengineering, Governance, and Technology Policy, dated January 2nd, 2013. So it's real, folks. I mean, that's where I got my definition for geoengineering. I mean, that's this year, January 2nd, 2013. They spray. It is unbelievable the amount they spray. Now, let me give you a quick observation. I was traveling to Phoenix, and I was noticing I notice the chemtrails all the time, but I was noticing them as I left Los Angeles. And I looked behind me, and boy, you could just see the grid right behind. But as we, you know, and then we continued through the desert, no trail in sight, beautiful blue sky, you know, what have you. But as soon as we got towards Phoenix. So as soon as we got towards a metropolitan area, here come the grids again. Grids. So they're spraying it over populations. They're not spraying it over just nature or like, you know, they're not spraying it everywhere. You know, that would make more sense, but they're just spraying it over the people. And you got to wonder why. And then, you got to wonder, why would they only be spraying this on human beings if it wasn't to inflict all those nasty things that the barium, strontium, or, aluminum could cause? And do you have any loved ones that have suffered, that work outside on a regular basis, you know, gardeners, people who do things, and construction workers who suffer from these things? Think about it. And you wonder where it comes from. How do we get cancer? How do we get all these ailments we have? Well, it's in the air we breathe, and a lot of it is coming down on us from these airplanes. So another thing we have to talk about are the bees. Now, another part to global warming is this bee situation. Everywhere you go, there are dead bees, and there is really no explanation for it. It has hit Canada harder than it has anywhere else. Now, I don't know why they're spraying Canada more than they are anywhere else, but a National Bee Diagnostic Center is set to open in northern Alberta, Canada. So they're actually creating a bee diagnostic center, which is amazing. But in an alarming trend, bee colony losses in Canada have risen from average levels of 5 to 15% to over 30% since 2006. So they're that's almost half the bees as a result of all this crap coming out of these planes. So, I mean, the bees are certainly dying from the chemicals I just described. I mean, that is probably what they're dying from. Now, where I live, you walk out and there are these bees just kind of walking around, still kind of dazed, not really dead yet, but there's like hundreds of bees every day where I live, just on the ground. And it's horribly sad. So I found this little bee song. Let me see if I can play this song real quick. This is a good one.
I am a honeybee, shut up from the colony, and they won't let me in. So I left the hive, they took away all my straps and broke off both my wings. So I'll find another tree.
All right, so that was a very nice song there. That is, I just wanted to play that. I like that. That's Honeybee by Z Avi, and I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. That is a beautiful song. But, we got to worry about the bees, folks, because without bees, we don't have food, and we certainly don't have the, you know, ability to regenerate plants unless we do it in factories or in laboratories, which is probably what they want, because with all of this stuff that falls down from these planes, the aluminum, it gathers in the soil and it creates a soil where you can't plant anything. So it is killing our ability to, produce food. And the result or a problem reaction solution to that, part of it all is to create genetically modified seeds that are resistant to aluminum. So we already have genetically modified vegetables and things that have pesticides in them and various things in them that, help them grow, I assume. But they're certainly not healthy for us. But again, check into the bees. You know, if you're just worried about something small in this global warming issue, which is not small at all, because without bees, we can't exist. We won't be here. Everything will be chemicals. It'll all be just horrible things that we have to, you know, everything will come from a lab if we don't have bees. So let's give the bees another chance and stop spraying this crap. So what is the agenda? So in my opinion, it is this. It's to create a one-world government that controls the modification of the environment. A cap-and-trade program will be put in place to strangle off any chance of any non-developed country survival and the continuation of the pollution of large corporations that are already causing the issues on Earth. Now, you know, the big piles of floating trash. I mean, there are some real environmental issues that these people really need to focus on. Gushing oil spills. You remember the oil in the Gulf and the floating trash and all the smog we still have. You know, they're not really focusing on that anymore. No, we just want to, you know, get billions of dollars in taxes, spray you with chemicals, and hope you don't complain about it, and hope you just believe the fact that we say our science is undeniable, right? Because that's essentially how the government treats us all. So understand that the countries that cannot afford these carbon credits will be reduced to only using wind, solar, and renewable energy sources. How do they implement these energy sources into a nation's power grid? As I said, that is impossible. I looked that up as well. If any cities actually run off these renewable energies, and countries can't even do it in combined efforts. So that's some crazy stuff. So where do we all go from here? Let's get to the final thought. So here we go. So whether your creator is your parents or your God, okay, the Earth was created and balanced by millions of years of various gases, including the life-building gas, carbon dioxide. These gases and temperatures brought forth the life we share and toil into this day. And for your children, your elderly loved ones who work in their gardens tirelessly, and for the life of the essential honeybee, we must not allow the air of man's selfish destruction to continue, to allow our air to be transformed into their carcinogenic clouds of deception. Let them not choke our skies for either their depopulation goals or the monetary gain of this network of terracidal engineers. I ask you, who gave away our rights to the air? Who voted in and chose to start spraying the population? Because I certainly didn't see or get that ballot. Now, I urge you folks, and this is from my heart, look up from those phones from time to time. If you haven't seen these trails in the sky, I urge you to look up. You either spend too much time indoors or you're too focused on what you're doing, on your machines. But the only solution that we have to stop these planes is to write your congressman. And now you hear that from time to time, but it is important. And I urge you to do that and just beg them to either explain it or stop it, because it is killing us all surely and slowly. So there you go. How do you feel about that? Global warming. I think when you really look at it, it is really truly just a problem, a reaction solution system. They are creating crises as they always have with 9/11, with Oklahoma City, all the things we talk about on this show. They certainly have been creating the problems, creating the solutions, and then who is there to suffer? You know, who is there to just pick up the pieces, and that is us, because we have to live in the middle of all their decisions. And does it ever get any better, folks? I ask you, and it doesn't. So that is the proof that what they're doing and the systems they have in place just aren't functioning. So I'd like to say goodbye, of course, and thank a few listeners. I'd first like to thank my mom. I love you, Mom, and she's, of course, my biggest fan. So, hey, Mom, how you doing? I'd also like to thank a man by the name of Francis Hamilton. What's up, Francis? He's of Third Rail Rhyming Crew out of the UK. So I say big ups to Francis, man. Thanks for looking out and keep spreading the word. He kind of helps me get the word out, and he is one of my biggest supporters. So thank you, Francis. I appreciate that. And of course, I thank Jeremy, Joel, and everyone here. Nick, thank you for making the show nice today, man. I appreciate that. Everyone here at Skid Row Studios for giving me this bunker from which to launch my attacks, because without this, I would be a lonely man. So, and we can never forget the man with the plan, Mr. Sal Rodriguez, who you can hear on A Registered Ear Offenders here on SkidRowStudios.com Fridays from 1 to 2 p.m., directly before this show. So thank you very much for joining me today on my global warming and chemtrail tirade. But it is important that we learn what's being done to us, what's being sprayed on us, and why. And what science do they have to back that up? So please come back next week. We'll be deep in the trenches again, and we'll be trying to find the truth. Thank you. This is Wyam Russell from the Devils in the Details radio show. I'll see you next week.
Devil one.